Our sermon text this morning comes from our Old Testament lesson from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, reading now in Jesus' name. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. Here ends the reading of the word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth, and we pray that you would sanctify us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our final message in the series of the minor or major messages through the minor prophets. And today we're going to be looking at the minor prophet Micah. And we see here this major message that God has promised through the coming of the Messiah, through the coming of the ruler that would come in his name, to bring his people to a place of safety. It says that they will live securely when his greatness reaches to the ends of the earth. And safety, security, peace, those are all things that we really desire to have in our life. We all want a feeling of safety. And we'll do lots of things to help us feel safe and secure. Maybe we'll make plans, lots of plans, to try to stop problems before they happen or to deal with them when they come. We look for guidance and good advice from experts when we feel overwhelmed and unsure of what to do. We depend on the strength of others, maybe at times, to protect us and those we love. Maybe we even depend on our nation to provide that safety and security that we need in this world. We work hard to put ourselves in the best situations we can, hoping that all that work and all that planning might be enough to save us from misfortune. And we today are not alone in this. From the beginning, people have known about the dangers that we face in this world, and they have done whatever they can to protect themselves from those dangers. We all desire to live with a feeling of safety. And throughout time, religion has been a key part of that as well. For even false religions, even superstitions, are designed to give people a sense of safety, even if maybe it's a false sense of security. Sometimes we'd rather have a false sense of security than no sense of security at all. But in our passage today from the minor prophet Micah, we see this major message, this important message, that only the true God can give us real safety and peace, even in the most dangerous and uncertain of times. The first thing we see in this passage is we see our reassurance that we can be safe knowing that God has a plan. And we see that in the first couple verses of this passage, that God has a plan. That God has a plan to send to his people a ruler, and he tells them some details about this ruler. Now, when things seem out of control in our lives, or maybe in our job situation, or in our nation, or in our world, we want to know, we want to be assured that the people who are in charge have a plan. We want to know that they have a good plan and that they're willing to implement that plan to help to bring control to that situation. And oftentimes we'd like to know the particulars of that plan. We just don't want to hear, well, don't worry about it, we have a plan. And we want to know, what is the plan? What are things that we can do to help bring control to the chaos? We want to know that those who are making those decisions know what they're talking about. And sometimes, even if the plan is difficult, if we trust those who are leading us, if it seems doable, if we seem confident in the end result, we can endure a lot of things if we know that we're enduring those things for a reason. And this passage begins with such an assurance. God says that he has a plan to restore the safety and security of his people. And he says that his plan really centers on sending his people a ruler. And he promises that even though it may seem at times as though Israel was abandoned, that this ruler would restore them. And this ruler would not just be chosen among those who happened to be there at the time, but this is a ruler who has been planned from the beginning, a particular ruler. And this ruler would be someone unique. And God even gave them details so they would know when this ruler came. The first thing he says is that he would come from the town of Bethlehem and from the particular region of Ephrathah. There were other Bethlehems, but he says this particular Bethlehem will be where this leader will come from. Number two, it says this leader would come on God's behalf. It says that this ruler will come for me. The third thing we see is he will be ruler over all Israel, not just Judah. Because if you remember, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken away into exile. And really, historically, we have no idea what happened to those 10 tribes. Of Israel, those northern tribes of Israel, all the Jews that we know of today, well, we call them Jews now, right? And we do that because it's really saying they are from Judah, not Israel. If you notice in the Old Testament, they're often called Israelites, right? Because it was the whole nation. But after that, they were simply called Jews because they were from Judah, because nobody knew what happened to those other tribes. But here, God promises that he will be ruler over all Israel. And that's really interesting. The fourth thing we see, and this is where it gets really mysterious, the fourth thing that he says is that his origins are from of old, from ancient times. And he's saying that his origins are not just old, but older than the old. Like if you think of anything old, it's beyond that. And yet, despite ancient origins, it says that his coming is still something that was to be looked forward to. And there's only one person who can possibly fit this description, and that is Jesus. For Jesus would be born in that exact town in Bethlehem, nearly 700 years after this prophecy. And he was sent by God, and he was sent to be a ruler over all of God's people. Not just Judah, not just a particular kingdom or a particular tribe, but all Israel. And he was sent to be a ruler over God's people, not just God's people of the present, but also he was sent as ruler of all of God's people of the past and the future as well. He came to be the deliverer for all believers. All believers that had lived, that were living at the time, and that would come in the future. And that's how God fulfilled that promise that Jesus would be the ruler over all Israel. And even greater than just the Israelite people. He has something greater in mind than even that. And that's spoken of in this promise, that Israel would be abandoned until she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. So here he's saying that not only will Jesus be the ruler over all the Israelites, but all of his brothers. He's talking about the inclusion of the Gentiles here as well. That it was too small of a thing for Jesus to simply be the ruler over Israel, but he was really the ruler of all nations. And this prophecy speaks to the divinity of Christ as well. That Jesus, who had not yet come to earth, had always been. That Jesus predates time itself. And no human being could fit this description. It's really what Jesus was referring to when he got in a discussion with the Pharisees. And you know, Jesus says, you know, Abraham rejoiced at my day. And they're like, how could Abraham have rejoiced at you? You know, you're not even 50 years old and you claim to have seen Abraham, who lived 2,000 years prior to that. And Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Jesus is the ever-present one. He was present at every time in history. And so too, God's plan was present at every time in history and even before history. God's plan is not a reaction to our problems of sin and death, but it is a plan that God always had. And that plan includes us specifically as well. Paul says in Ephesians 1:4, for God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God had a plan of redemption even before creation. And that plan includes us, and that ancient plan gives us hope. For the plan of salvation predates all of our problems, all of our fears, all of our insecurities and worries. Before all these things were, the great I am had a plan for your salvation. And that should give us hope and peace, even in the midst of the uncertainty of this world. We also see in verse 4 that God has given us a promise that this ruler will shepherd his flock, and that he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. It really is a promise that the Lord himself will protect us. And Jesus certainly came in the strength of the Lord and in the name of the Lord. And Jesus often talked about being the great shepherd of the sheep, that he would be the one to lead the people of God back to God, that he would be the one who would provide for God's people and provide for their salvation. And it's not really a trivial thing to call on the name of the Lord. It's not a simple thing that we've been given the authority to pray in the name of the Lord or to be called by the name of the Lord. It really is a blessing that we frankly don't deserve. For the name of the Lord also implies the authority of the Lord. That when Jesus says that we are to pray in his name, it doesn't mean that we're just to pray to him, but we're to pray in his authority. And we see this at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, it says, and Jesus came to the disciples and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so we see all those promises really fulfilled, those promises of Micah. This is a direct fulfillment of that major message of Micah, that Jesus would come in the strength of the Lord, that he would come in the name of the Lord, and that on account of him, the greatness of the Lord would reach the ends of the earth. God gave them that commission to go to the ends of the earth and proclaim the name of the Lord. And it's the greatness of the Lord and the greatness of his name that is the source of our safety. For whatever we do, we are to do it in the name of the Lord. We are to do it for his glory. And whenever we're in trouble, we're to call on the name of the Lord. For it is only the name of the Lord that can drive away the darkness. It is only before the name of the Lord that Satan must flee. For it says in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, is a unique name. It is the only name of salvation. It is the only name of safety. And it is in that name that Jesus has promised to be our shepherd, to guide us to green pastures, but also to guide us even through the valley of the shadow of death. For even in the dark valleys, we're told that we lack nothing. For the Lord our God, Jesus, the great shepherd, is with us. We also see in this passage that Jesus is not just our shepherd, but he's also meant to be our fortress. In verse 5, it says, "He will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortress." Sometimes we work so hard to build earthly fortresses. We might try to build a fortress of wealth to protect us in times of trouble. We build that fortress as we plan our career, as we plan for retirement, as we make investments. We might try to build a fortress of health to get ourselves in the best possible shape that we would be able to survive disease and other things like that. Maybe we build that fortress through exercise or eating right, or even by relying on doctors and medication to help us to overcome maybe some of our shortcomings. Maybe we try to find safety by building a fortress of family and friends, by making sure that we're never alone, that we're always surrounded by other people. But the question is, what happens when the enemy invades those fortresses? What happens when your financial fortress falls or is under siege? When you lose your job, or maybe you've had a few bad years in a row, or maybe just you seem to have a never-ending string of unexpected expenses. What happens then? What happens to our peace and hope when cancer invades our fortress of health, or maybe invades the fortress of a loved one? What happens when the enemy invades the fortress of family and friends, and we're hurt by people that we had trusted? What happens even if the enemy invades our fortress of religion? Maybe a fortress that we had built thinking that if we just do good, that if we do all the right things, that God will maybe spare us from trouble. When those times of trouble come, when those fortresses fall, will we still have peace? For that is the kind of peace that Jesus came to bring us. Not peace by totally removing the enemy, but a peace that endures even the attacks of the enemy. This passage ends by saying that he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortress. It's talking about that even in a time of war and even in a time of defeat, that this ruler, that God, will bring us peace. It's the peace that's spoken of in Psalm 46. Where it says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Jesus is our fortress, and he's our peace as well, not just in peaceful times, not just in good times, but also in those times when our earthly fortresses are assaulted and maybe even overrun by the enemy. For even when the earthly fortresses we have built fall, even when our earthly plans are foiled, even when we have to face the valley of the shadow of death, when it seems that we're left all alone and scared, we have the promise that the Lord is with us, that he himself is God's plan of salvation, And that plan that he has of salvation includes you and predates time itself. And he has promised to lead us and guide us through that plan personally. He hasn't just given us the plan and said good luck, but he is personally leading us through that plan. And he has promised to be our fortress. He has promised to be our refuge when all other fortresses fail. And when those fortresses fall, he will stand. And in him we will not fall. And when the night is over, it says we will see the salvation of our Lord. And we will know that in Christ that we were always secure, that we were always safe, even when it didn't feel like it. And in Christ alone, we know that our future is always certain. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this passage. We thank you for the promise that you would send a ruler, Lord, in your name. We thank you for fulfilling that promise by sending us Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that throughout our life, that we would not put our hope in the fortresses that we have here on earth, Lord. And we do thank you for the protection that we have in this nation. We thank you for the many blessings we have. We thank you, Lord, for all the healthcare facilities and wisdom of doctors that we have here in our nation, Lord. But we pray that our hope would always be found in you, Lord. That we know that unless you watch over the nation, those who watch it labor in vain, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would watch over us. We do pray, Lord, that you would spare us from pain and difficulty in this world. But when those things come, we pray, Lord, that our peace and our hope would not be shaken, that our peace and our hope would always be found in you and found in your plan of salvation, a plan that we know will not fail. For you, Lord, will not fall. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our hope in you. We pray, Lord, you'd strengthen our faith in the name of Jesus. And it's in that mighty name that we pray. Amen.